The Lord be with you.
Amen.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. As Jesus continued his journey to Jerusalem, he traveled through Samaria and Galilee. As he was entering a village, 10 lepers met him. They stood at a distance from him and raised their voices, saying, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." And when he saw them, he said, "Go show yourselves to the priests." As they were going, they were cleansed. And one of them, realizing he had been cleansed, returned, glorifying God in a loud voice. And he fell at the feet of Jesus and thanked him. He was a Samaritan. Jesus said in reply, 10 were cleansed, were they not? Where are the other 9? Has none but this foreigner returned to give thanks to God?" Then he said to him, "Stand up and go. Your faith has saved you." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
God, so once again, good morning, brothers and sisters. Welcome, welcome, everybody. Happy Thanksgiving Day to everybody. Is this the best federal holiday of the year? Or is this the best federal holiday of the year? I love Thanksgiving Day, a day in which I'm grateful to be able to tell you about the importance of being grateful, okay? Two things I think that are really important to remember about gratitude, I'd like to share with you here this morning. First of all, how important gratitude is to your happiness. And secondly, how gratitude must be a free choice on your part. It doesn't always spring up from our hearts naturally. It has to be a free choice. Something really interesting I learned just this past week about gratitude. And I learned it from the Olympic Games. Now, this is really interesting. Did you know that it's a proven fact that in the Olympic Games, the bronze medal winner is happier than the silver medal winner? No, they did an objective study. The year was 2004. The place was Athens. It was the Summer Olympic Games. And they took a representative sample of athletes, okay? And the only thing they did was they took a look at their face to catch their reaction the moment they learned that they'd won a medal. And you know what the results were? Of gold medal winners, 93% of them smiled immediately upon learning they won the gold medal. 93%. Maybe the other 7% were too tired. I don't know. Okay. Bronze medal winners. 70% of bronze medal winners smiled immediately upon learning they won the bronze medal. Do you know how many silver medal winners smiled upon learning they won the silver medal? 0%. Not one smile. Now, psychologically speaking, this is known as counterfactual thinking, or daydreaming about what might have been. The silver medal winner is consumed with the thought of what I did wrong that cost me from winning the gold. He's absorbed with the thought of, I almost won. The bronze medal winner didn't expect to get anything at all. And he's standing there at the podium. He's like, I made it. I'm in the winner's circle. The silver medal winner feels sad because he had a disposition of entitlement and therefore feels deprived. The bronze medal winner feels entitled to absolutely nothing and therefore feels humility, gratitude, and joy. Very interesting. And what's further interesting is how this is confirmed by study after study after study. Lottery winners. This is very interesting. Did you know that lottery winners revert to the level of happiness they had before they won after their windfall almost every time? And maybe the most interesting of all is that people who suffer catastrophic illness or injury, maybe they lost a limb or maybe they're paralyzed, after they have a period of adjustment, okay, they revert to the same level of happiness that they had before their injury. Isn't it interesting that your happiness is not based on your life circumstances? You know, one of the happiest places I've ever been in my whole life is Rwanda. I tell you, it's a place And everybody I met was joyful. You had to have a cup of clean water, okay? Had to have a decent meal. You had to have a decent pair of shoes. And they were happy. Came back to the USA afterwards, and in spite of every necessity being taken care of, we still find things to complain about. Isn't it interesting that there's this correlation between deprivation and gratitude? You know, the first ever Thanksgiving Day, or at least the one we celebrate as the first ever Thanksgiving Day, Plymouth Colony, Massachusetts, 1621. Do you know that the English colonists, who we call pilgrims, spent the first winter in Massachusetts on board the boat? They never left the Mayflower. Spent the winter on the boat. It was warmer on the boat. It was safer on the boat, but there was a trade-off. It also led to the spreading of all kinds of contagious diseases, such that 130 people crossed over on the Mayflower in 1620. Fewer than half of them survived the first winter. And that harvest celebration that we call the first ever Thanksgiving, it turns out they weren't so grateful for the great abundance of everything God had given them. They were just grateful to be alive. The first time we ever had Thanksgiving proclaimed as a national holiday. You might already know this one. The president was Abraham Lincoln. The year was 1863. What was going on in 1863? We're in the middle of the Civil War. Darkest hour in American history. Brother fighting against brother. A very strange time to decide to proclaim a national day of thanks, isn't it? Okay? Except for this funny fact. There's this correlation between deprivation and gratitude. It's when you're hungry that you most appreciate food. It's when you're sick that you're most grateful for health. It's when a loved one can't be with you, maybe because of distance, maybe because of death. That's when you're most grateful for them. Not that there's anything good about hunger, not there's anything good about illness, except for this funny fact. The experience of deprivation reminds us that absolutely everything around us is one great big unmerited gift, and it leads to gratitude. And that leads to happiness, and that's one of the reasons why your Heavenly Father allows you to experience deprivation and need. Here on Thanksgiving Day, every year we read the gospel of the 10 lepers, and all 10 of them are cured, and only one of them comes back to Jesus to give thanks for his cure. Why didn't the other 9 come back to Jesus to give thanks for being cured of leprosy? I don't know, maybe they were just so overwhelmed with being cured that they forgot, right? Maybe they were really bad people, right? Maybe they were really terrible people and didn't know how to say thank you. But I will tell you this much for sure. The reason they didn't come back was because they didn't choose to come back. There's another funny thing about gratitude. You've got to choose it. You've got to choose it. It's not easy. It's not easy in our society to choose gratitude because we're living in a hyper-competitive, consumerist society, hyper-competitive society. Constantly world around you is telling you that the other guy's doing better than you are and you've got to catch up and you're not good enough. Consumerist society, constantly telling you, you're not good enough, you're not good enough, but I can make you better for only $19.95 plus shipping and handling. Right? It's not easy at all to be grateful. We have to choose to be grateful, and that's what we need to do today. Count your blessings. Listen, when you're done with Mass, walk outside, look up at the sky, and stop to realize that that beautiful blue sky, those beautiful golden trees and those beautiful red trees and the fluffy white clouds, God didn't have to make any of that. He could have made a world in grayscale if he wanted to. And hear the wind blowing through the trees, and it's so soothing and it's so beautiful. And God didn't have to give you ears. He didn't have to do any of that. Don't go out of Mass. Stay right where you are and look around you. And just be grateful for the fact that we're able to build this place, right? Don't go out of Mass. Stay right where you are and be grateful for the fact that you're even able to be here, that we've got the freedom to assemble here this morning. Somebody fought for that freedom. Somebody sacrificed so that we could be here and gather to celebrate Mass in peace, and you already know, you can't do that every place in the world. Don't get up and walk out of Mass. Sit right where you are and look up at the crucifix. You ever stop to thank God that you were even created? You didn't have to exist. You ever stop to thank God that you were baptized? He didn't have to make you his own son or his own daughter and give you his grace. He didn't have to suffer and die on the cross. At no benefit to him. Totally for your benefit to forgive sins again and again and again. You ever stop to give thanks to God that you can go through this whole life with a heart full of hope because you got a promise of a heavenly kingdom that was going to last forever and ever and ever if only we'll accept the grace that our Lord gives of us and turn away from all of our wrongdoing. Sit there right where you are and look up at this altar right here. This is the ultimate Thanksgiving dinner table right here, because this is where we celebrate the Eucharist, the word that means Thanksgiving, and a gift you never would have imagined, not in a million years, that Jesus Christ himself would be your very food. Stop and think about this for a moment. The burdens that you carry in life, even though they're real, they're all limited and they're all temporary. The blessings that we have in our lives, by contrast, are so great they sometimes can't be measured, and when they're spiritual, they are, in fact, infinite. The greatness of Thanksgiving, the greatness of gratitude. It's so important. In fact, it's essential for being happy. Do you know that? There is no such thing in all the world as a happy ingrate. Okay? But you got to choose it. We got to choose it. And that's what we do right here at Mass. Just like we say, it is truly right and just, our duty and our salvation, always and everywhere, to give you thanks, Almighty God. Amen. God bless you all.